decision, choice, change, challenge. It means that we get out and march for Christ. It means that we commit ourselves, that we believe in something, and that we give it all we've got.
Mm. What a good word to start.
Thank you, Billy Graham. You know who Billy Graham is? You know who Billy Graham is. He's like the most famous preacher on the planet. Anyways, Brady.
Hello.
This is Ridge.
And Noah.
Pretty sick, still.
And that's Brady.
Yeah.
Pretty sick is Brady.
Yeah, okay.
But, that was a little clip from Billy Graham himself. A little bit of our topic is going to be what it means to be a Christian today. We also have
Bears got killed.
NFL Red Zone.
Bears got killed.
Bro. On in front of us. So if Brady seems a little distracted, it's because NFL Red Zone's on and there is a kitty cat next to him that he is petting. And he seems very happy, so we're going to let it fly. Mm-hmm. But, Noah.
Verse of the week.
Kick it off with that verse of the week, dog.
Yeah. Verse of the week comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to teach each other and to all people.
Ooh,
again,
yeah.
1 Thessalonians 5:15.
A little kind of flows with kind of what it means to be a Christian.
That is true, yeah.
Brady, you want to open it up in prayer, big dog?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank the Lord.
That's what's okay, here, ready? dear God, thank you for letting us meet here tonight and be in good health, obviously allowing me to recover. I thank you for everything you've given us for these last few days. I pray for the election coming up and for everyone playing football today that they make a speedy recovery if they're hurt. I also pray that we all have a great week and that we have a great conversation here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brady's fangirling over Drake May
right now.
He acts like it's Tom Brady.
Look at his play.
Tom Brady's not even that good.
Look at his play. Sacks it.
Yeah. So, a little bit about what it means to be a Christian. Noah, what do you think? I've got some like bullet points right here, so I want to get y'all's take on it. And then we'll go through what I researched.
What I think, being a Christian is going to church, doing good works. Kind of for the Lord, for other people, love your neighbor as yourself. Like Billy Graham said, don't repay evil for evil. Obeying God. Even though we mess up a lot, we need to realize that we mess up as a Christian and ask God for forgiveness in that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a couple things on what I think being Christian means.
Nice, nice. Brady, how about you?
I would say more of just like reading his word and like, you know, following through on it. Because like a lot of people say, like, obviously you can say a lot of things, but you got to walk the walk as well.
Yeah.
So I would just say like living by God's word and living through him and not really so much the church things. I feel like you can learn. That whole idea is to learn about God on your own and then learn more in church or get guidance in church. But I would just say that. You know, the main thing is just following his rules and following his guidelines and treating everyone else you should.
Yeah, and to me, the way I've always seen it is it's a tough thing to do, but it's like read the Bible, follow what the Bible says, and share the good news, and you're being a good Christian. Like, share the gospel. And a quote from Billy Graham, he says, "A Christian is a person who's trusting Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation and is seeking to follow him in their daily life." So, like, that's it. It's as simple as that, but that's one of the harder things to truly do in the world we live in. Noah, put your glasses on, dude. You look so handsome with them on.
The headphones mess them up.
That's all, folks. Okay. But, that's crazy, dude. Sorry. We just watched Saquon Barkley's
no look hurdle
180
backwards
spin jump thing. And it's crazy. Yeah. That dude is an athlete, as Coach Metz says.
Insane.
Who's that?
Coach Metz. Coach Kerry Metz. Shout out to the homie.
What a great person, though, honestly.
Even though he probably never listens to this.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Okay, but this is straight from one of Billy Graham's kind of like devotional articles he put out. The number one thing is the main character of Christianity is
God.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
God. Same thing.
Oh, I thought I got that wrong.
No. It just says Jesus Christ on here. It says around 2,000 years ago, a baby was born in a stable. You may have heard the story. The baby was Jesus Christ, a unique person who was fully God and fully man, which is like, how's that even happen? Well, obviously it did. King of, kind of hard to get your head around, but the Bible, the true and authoritative word of God, talks about Jesus's humility. He worked, slept, went hungry, and wept, just like we did as people in today's earth. Is that? Oh, that's not who I needed. It also tells you how he was God. Not only does Jesus claim it in John, but he raised people from the dead, forgave sins, and made demons flee. These are all actions that only God, who has the authority over everything, could do. He was fully human. It's humid out here. He was fully human, tempted just as we are, yet did not fall into temptation. This is basically describing the Bible as like a movie. You know how it has like the main character, the problem, the solution, and what audience it's for.
Right.
So the problem, obviously, what's the problem in the world?
Sin.
Ever since Adam and Eve committed the first sin in the Garden of Eden, humanity has been plagued by sin. As Romans says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Have you ever lied, cheated, or thought you were better than someone else? That's sin, something that God, because he is eternally just, deeply distaste. The late, great Billy Graham, he explained it as, we have rebelled against God, and because of that, the Bible says we are separated from the life of God due to the hardening of our hearts. But Jesus came to save us and make us part of his family forever. He did this by dying for our sins on the cross and conquering death through his resurrection. So that's the problem with sin.
Yeah.
Stop me if you interject, say something. The solution.
Jesus dying on the cross for us.
Yeah, the cross and an empty grave.
Yeah.
God in his grace and mercy didn't leave mankind with a problem and no solution. By dying on the cross, he mended what was broken at the beginning of time forever. The cure for sin is repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore the guilty and punishment for our sins on the cross, rose from the dead on the third day, and is now alive forevermore. The person who trusts in the atoning work of Christ is forgiven, no longer under the wrath of God, and has received a new heart that seeks to please and honor the Lord. So basically, like, it's like it. A lot of people say, and it's not as simple as this. Is like if it sounds so easy to be a Christian if you can just mess up and then repent and you're okay.
Yeah.
Like, man, what's that actress name? The one from
Bedtime Stories?
No, not Bedtime Stories. The one from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Johnny Depp.
No, that's the character in the movie, but no, it's Keira Knightley, actress, not actor.
Johnny Depp is an actual person.
Yeah, I know. Keira Knightley, that's exactly what she said. She was like, you Christians have it so easy, because she's like a diehard atheist. Yeah. She's like, you Christians have it so easy. You think you can just mess up whenever you want and then repent and everything is okay. But it's a little bit deeper than that because...
I mean, yeah, we...
We got to try. Like,
yeah, but also as Christians, you know, we go through prosecution and...
Persecution?
Prostitution?
Brady.
Persecution. Yeah.
All right, bro.
Persecution, judgment, you know, like spiritual warfare. So, I mean, I kind of just don't agree with her point.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, Jesus had to be a man in order to die, and he had to be God in order to be a sacrifice and payment for our sins. the depth of mankind's sin required a perfect sacrifice, and that's exactly what Jesus was. Mm-hmm. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, and it literally purified everything from you. Like, it made sins whole, it made hearts whole, it made everything okay again, and that's the reason there's, like, there's grace, and we have a just God. Like, mm-hmm. He's not just going to do something that is only bad. Like, and that can be a tough conversation sometimes when people are like, how do you have such a great God if he lets people, like, lets kids die of cancer and stuff like that? But, and that's a hard one. I'm not, like, for me, like, people have, like, asked me some crazy questions like that, that I've, like, I'm like, you know, I can't answer that off the top of my head, because sometimes I'm not, like, super good at just, like, spitting out the facts, but I was like, I'll get back to you. Like, don't worry. And then the audience, or, like, the recipient, that's us as people, not us three, but the world. Yeah. And all the truth inspires a reaction, turning from sin and running towards God and the way of life he has laid out for you. The Bible talks about the characteristics that come after you give yourself to Christ, such as love, kindness, peace, and joy. There will be love in your heart for your fellow man if you are Christ, if you are in Christ. And that's from Billy Graham. And that's kind of a deep one. I mean, as long as you've got Jesus in your heart and you're living the right way with as a Christian, then you're going to have love for other people. Like, yeah, people might piss you off sometimes, but it's kind of like Pastor, George of the Jungle. Pastor George today filled in for Pastor Kevin, because
he's running that 26.2
that New York City Marathon this morning. And he said, you got to forgive, like, even if you don't want to, like, you've got to do all these things that you might not want to do. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the gist of Christianity. And I mean, obviously that's a simple, quick facts of it and kind of how we feel about it, but it works and it's a good guideline and basis. We're watching Deanna wrestle the dog back inside because she saw the cat.
The other thing that I like that Pastor George said today was, you know, being a launcher, not a lounger.
Yeah.
And he was referring to when
Eli
was a lounger while God was lifting up Samuel to be the launcher.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, he said a quote today that I really liked, and it was actually from somebody that I don't like that much, Mark Zuckerberg. But the quote was, and this kind of doesn't really pertain to what we're going, but it's like one of those ones that, like, stuck with me. Like, I just remembered it, and it was the only strategy that's guaranteed to fail is not taking the risk. And so, like, he said that in context of, like, we've got to kind of be put ourselves in uncomfortable situations.
We have to do stuff that we don't want to do.
Yeah. So whether that means, like, going out of our comfort zone and we see someone at the gas station and we want to go, like, pray for them or say, hey, can we put $15 in your car for you today? Like, something gospel, like that. Yeah. Like, just spread the gospel to them.
That's the challenge that Pastor George gave us this week. He was like, do something that's out of your comfort zone. Do something that you're uncomfortable with.
Yeah, dude, this cat is making my eyes itch.
It's okay. He's just chilling here.
Oh, Louie. I hate cats, dude.
I hate you. I love this cat. This cat is so sweet. Yeah, if you hate this cat is so sweet.
The cat is sweet, but cats just bug my allergies. Just
broke my freaking leg.
Yeah, we can hear.
Shut up.
So, this past week, what did we do?
Went to the Maverick City Worship Concert at the Kia Center, featuring the Jaywalkers, Chandler Moore, Tim Godfrey.
Opened by Tim Godfrey.
Stephen McWhorter.
And Sam Rivera. Dude, that dude, Tim Godfrey, bro. Mm. Brother is from Nigeria. And
only if they could see us to the dance.
Godfrey?
Huh?
Godfrey?
Only if they could see us do the dance.
Okay. Yeah, that dude had the...
Bye, kitty.
He had the Holy Spirit flowing through him. He had that whole place rocking. It was
amazing.
It was sick. We might have to post like a Instagram video of us doing the dance.
Yeah.
You have a video of that?
No, but we're gonna do it and then post it.
No.
Absolutely.
You got that.
It's so much fun.
No, that was my first ever concert I went to.
Yeah, that was both of y'all's first concert, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it probably will be the best one that I'll ever go to.
I don't know, dude. Brandon Lake puts on a stellar concert.
I'm excited to go see Forrest Frank.
Forrest Frank.
Brandon Lake,
Caleb Gordon. All of them going to be there.
Kodak Black.
No. He is not going to be at Rock the Universe.
Keep saying that, bro.
Rock the Universe is... it'd be great if he was, if he turned his life around, but Rock the Universe is a concert that is put on, or music, they call it a music festival, a Christian music festival that they put on at Universal Studios, and that's going to be sick. That'll be in January, I think. What was your favorite part of the concert, Noah?
Either when they went into the crowd and Chandler Moore was playing the piano, and I started just singing a bunch of different songs.
Acoustic sets.
Yeah, or the last song they sung, Gyra.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite part.
Yeah, that's a good song. One. Yeah. How about you, Brad?
I thought the ending was pretty cool. Yeah, your eye is super red, dude.
It's a cat.
I thought that the ending was pretty cool. When the 99-1.
Yeah.
Although it did go up for a
long time. When you sang Omema?
Yeah.
What did Omema mean again?
That, and then I think my favorite song out of all of it was Firm Foundation, bro.
Yeah.
That song was hard. I don't know, man. Rain came, wind blew.
That
was so hard.
Omema was...
That song is the one who does good. That's what Omema means. But that was... He, like, went on for, what, like, 12, 13 minutes?
He'd be like, okay. And then we're like, why don't you leave the 99? Oh, it's good. Whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
And then he started dancing again.
Those dudes can dance, too. Mm-hmm. They got that flow.
That rhythm.
Yeah, rhythm and flow. Oh, that's another one that's going to be at Rock the Universe is Hillsong or Elevation Rhythm, which they're pretty good. I think Tim Godfrey was my favorite part of the whole concert, dude.
It was super cool.
He was so good, and like he was so involved with the crowd, and
he got that whole place.
I can just barely see out of this eye. The cat is messing me up so bad. But yeah, dude, that concert, it was just like incredible, because especially when they sang the song where it goes like, "Can you imagine all of the things that we can do?" or "Can you imagine with all of the faith in the room?" Now this is gonna kill me. We got to figure that out, Deanna. What's that song? You guys talk while I figure this out.
I'm trying to think of the song.
So,
More Than Able. Can you imagine with all of the faith in the room what the Lord can do?
Yeah.
And that song like hit home so hard like that night, because there was literally like 18 to like 20,000 people in this arena that were just like worshiping. And you rarely ever get to see that. Like, mm-hmm. We don't go to some like big mega church that has tens of thousands of people like in them at a time. And just to see like all these like different diverse group of people come together just for one reason, and that's to like give God glory and to worship.
Yeah, it was truly incredible.
Is such a crazy sight to see.
Like on my TikTok, I see like a bunch of videos. Like before the concert, I saw a bunch of videos from like Maverick City Worship and stuff. Just like all the people in the room worshiping, and that got me just so hyped for the concert.
Whoa, my eye is so messed up, bro.
I definitely want to go to another like worship concert like that.
Yeah, we also had the pleasure of meeting and going into the shop.
I didn't get to go.
Well, yeah, Noah.
I drove.
Noah went there twice, but didn't get in.
9:45. Then it looked it up. Then it realized it didn't open till 11. Drove back home, met up with Bridget and Deanna, and then we drove back, and then it was closed.
Yeah, they're only like, they haven't even like fully opened yet. And this store is called The Armor of God. Like, you might have heard of it. They've been an online store for a year or two now. But they just recently opened their store off East Colonial in Orlando. And so, like, we're, like, messaging them on TikTok and Instagram and all this stuff.
Email.
Social media. And then I freaking send them an email, dude. And they get back to me in, like, 45 minutes on the email. And they're like, yeah, like, we're closed today. We don't have... Like, we don't have a lot of inventory, like, hardly anything. It was sold out, like, a week ago. And they're like, but feel free to come in. We'll open up for you guys and grab some merch. Because we wanted to, like, wear some, like, glorifying, like, God glorifying, like, clothes to this concert. And grab some merch. And so we went in. We met them there at, it was, like, 12:30 or something. And they had nothing, like, they had hoodies. And it's... Yeah, it's November, but it's freaking 95 degrees in Florida in November. And so we're like, we don't want hoodies. And I think my contact's about to fall out. My eye is so swollen. And so they're like, oh, like, don't even worry about it. We'll custom make you shirts right now. And so they, like, get their, like, shirt, their press, like, fired up. And they're like, which designs do you guys want? So Deanna and I go, and we're like, tell them what we wanted. We got Noah's shirt. We got Bianca a shirt for her birthday.
If you're wondering, I didn't get a shirt.
You didn't ask. It was her birthday that night. And, they actually opened again yesterday on Saturday. Then, because they restocked their merch. And then they said in the next couple weeks, they're going to, can you look up their website to figure out what his wife's name is? Because I'm going to give him a little shout out. And I don't remember his wife's
name. I know it's Josiah.
Yeah, obviously Josiah. I wasn't going to say it until we had both of them. But it's like Elise or Aileen or something. Yeah, super, super, super sick store. Like, very well decorated. As Deanna would probably say, very cute inside. And it was cool. They had, like, devotions for men, like, devotional books, journals, all this other stuff. All the way down to, like, bookmarks, stickers, hats, everything you can think of that you might need for, like, an apparel. They had it. And it was, as Noah just said, it was Josiah and...
Aileese,
maybe? Aileese.
It's spelled...
Sorry.
A-I-Y-E-L-I-S.
Oof. Aileese. Hopefully we're not botching that.
Sorry.
We did talk to them, and we invited them on the podcast. They said they would love that. So here up in the next couple episodes, we're going to do one at their shop. That one will be fully recorded and videoed. And we'll put it online. You guys can get a look at their shop. We'll post pictures and stuff like that. And we just wanted to give them a little shout out to let them know how grateful we are for them and for opening up their doors on a day that they were closed when they didn't have any merchandise, and then custom making our clothes right then and there. That was super cool. But what? Dude, my eye. I can't see.
Your eye's so red.
But yeah, what else we got, dude? I know you looked some stuff up.
Yeah, I just looked up some things to talk about.
Some things.
All right.
What about you, Brady? What you got, big dog? Little sick boy over there. Put the microphone cover back on. Please.
Why?
Because it sounds weird and different if it's off.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No shot.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, Mr. Pink Guy.
This is what cats do to me.
Because you keep rubbing your face with the same hat, same hand you're petting it with.
Yeah.
This is what cats do to me. I wouldn't have had to itch my eye if...
You didn't pet the cat that you optionally chose to do.
You told me to.
I was going to say about, like, talk about forgiveness or... Because that's what, Pastor George talked a little bit about it today.
I'm forgiving you for being mean to me.
More on being,
thank you,
being a launcher and what it means.
What was this? What
a
was
launcher?
This, what was this launcher saying? Was it BBISSY?
BB, but because you say so, I will.
Yeah.
BBYSSIW.
Yeah. But because you say so, I will. Which I, what did that come from? Luke?
Yeah.
It was great, though. I thought that was, yeah.
Because he was talking about the story of when Jesus met Peter, right?
And they're fishing.
Yeah, the disciples and they're fishing.
Was it the Sea of Galilee?
Maybe. Yeah. It was a water, body of water.
And they were fishing, yeah. And
They caught nothing.
That's how fishing usually goes for me and Noah.
That's why it's called catch or fishing, not catching.
Yeah. And then they came back in after they got there. Dude, I connected like so spiritually with when he was like, because cleaning the boat is the worst part of fishing because you got to scrub it, make sure everything's spotless. Get
all the salts off.
Get all the salt off of it. Get all the fish guts off of it. All the bait, everything. And he was like, yeah. And so they, after they were done fishing and they had cleaned their boats and everything and got their nets all brought up and all that, he said, ugh. My eye. I'm freaking out, dude. He told them to go back out and cast.
Who told them?
Jesus.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Because he didn't say anything.
We're talking about the... I mean, I guess you're right. I'm sorry. And he told them to go back out and cast their nets into the deep water. Mm-hmm. And they caught so many fish that their nets were tearing that they had to call their friends and other disciples out.
Yeah.
To come help them, and they came back with two literal boatloads full of fish.
Uh-huh. That's where the "but because you say so, I will."
And because and from. Simon Peter said, "Because you say so, I will."
You know, that's what we like. In when Pastor was talking about the uncomfortable situations that the Lord may want us to do, you know, we have to say, "Because you say so, I will." Even though we may not want to do it, we may be uncomfortable in that situation. It may make us look, you know, bad in a way, but. You know, if Jesus is wanting us to do something, we need to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because he kind of like related to like his kids. You know, he's like, it's like, okay, well, his kids don't do anything. They don't pay rent. They don't do this. They don't do that.
Yeah, the least you can do is.
When I ask you to clean your room, the kid's like, okay. And he's like, it's like, well, because, you know, because I told you so.
I wish my kids did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where the obedience in God comes from. Yeah. Make sure I worded that right.
Yeah, the obedience in God. I think another thing I wanted to talk about is the Bible a little bit more and why you guys decide to trust and believe in the Bible. And I'll help you out a little bit because I've got some points here I have written down.
I mean, for me, you know, first, I know I started to trust and, you know, believe in the Bible because, you know, like you said, it's the basic instruction before leaving Earth. And so it's kind of just always, like, I see my dad every morning, wake up, say a prayer, read the Bible. You know, that's kind of someone who I want to model in my life. So, I mean, he played a big role in believing in the Bible for me, but also you, when you said the Bible is the basic instruction before leaving Earth. So.
Yeah. What about you, Brad?
Well, obviously, like I said before, I'm still kind of getting, like, learning Bible stuff like that. And I'd say before, like, I feel like not a lot of things relate in the Bible. I mean, shoot, I think, like, a few days ago, I just flipped to, like, a random page, and I just, like, read it. And I was, like, I like, literally was just sitting there, and I flipped my page, and I read it. And I was, like, dang, like, this actually has some importance to me, like, right now. Mm-hmm. I think the best thing about the Bible is that, like, I feel like anywhere you end up landing your finger on, you'll learn something that, like, has importance to where you're at in that moment. And I feel like that's the best thing about the Bible is that it will always relate to you and that nothing you can feel won't be explained in the Bible.
Yeah. You know, like the hard times you're going through.
Yep. Hard, even good times,
that's
too.
That's where my favorite verse comes from.
Yeah.
It's John 13:7. When Jesus said, you may not know now, but later you understand.
Yeah. And I mean, so I've got like 8 points written down here. And the first one is Jesus trusted God's word and personally testified to its authenticity. So, like, Jesus began his ministry off of the Old Testament, which is all they had. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they had to, he had to teach off of. So he trusted it. He was performing the miracles. He was raising the dead and bringing them back to life. He was casting out demons, all this stuff. And back then, like, it took my wife going through depression and anxiety and all this stuff to think, be like, because I thought, like, I've thought about it and been like, demons, like casting out demons. Yeah, like, you can have, like, spirits and demons inside of you. But at the same time, depression is a demonic spirit. It's an evil spirit. And these could have been people that were depressed or anxious, or people that like we would put into like a mental hospital these days that are like schizophrenic. They didn't know how to diagnose them in the times of like Jesus, in the times of the Bible. So they just called them, like, they just said that they had demons inside of them. And that's what they were doing. So like these people that were schizophrenic, that were like sociopath, like anything like this that had like mental disabilities, they could have been called demons, and like they just were undiagnosed because they didn't know what to call it then. And so they were casting out those spirits of those evil spirits of depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, things like that.
Some lobotomies. Because a lot of people try to like do it like medically, like give people like lobotomies and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
be like, you got ghost in your blood. You need to take 13 shots of whiskey and 4 shots of rum.
Drill your brain.
Yeah, and I feel like the anxiety and all that, like for Deanna, it came from spiritual warfare.
And I
saw something on TikTok the other day. It said, it's long. Is it fine if I read it all?
Go for it.
It said, don't be surprised when you start making an effort to get closer to Jesus, and suddenly you're struggling more with anxiety. Suddenly you find yourself more stressed, feel more self-conscious, everything seems to be going wrong, etc. The devil isn't going to bother you when you're living in sin, but the second you start getting closer to the Lord, you become a threat, and he will try to wreak havoc on your life, especially your mind. All hell will quite literally break loose in a last-ditch effort to distract you from becoming the person God intended for you to be and seeing his truth. Following Jesus isn't always easy, and I don't think that's talked about nearly enough. But if we lean on him in times we feel overwhelmed, we will make it out of the battle unscathed.
That's good.
Yeah, so I saw that on TikTok.
And that's exactly like when it came in. So like when we were with our old church, that's when she started going through all of this stuff like really, really, really heavily. And getting attacked and all this, just because she was doing the right things. And when you're doing the right things, the devil, dude, he's working overtime. Mm-hmm. He's making sure he's working harder than you are. And so that's why you always got to be so devoted, so deep down in the word and in your prayer life and all this stuff, just so you can be one step ahead of him instead of one step behind him.
Yeah, I saw that last night at like, it was probably like 1 a.m. And it made me think for like an hour. You know, I was like, maybe, you know, spiritual warfare is where my anxiety came from when I had it bad at West Palm, or, you know, my depression, stuff like that. But yeah.
So point number two, the Bible is full of historical and geographical like references and facts. And that's where like a lot of people I've seen like in videos of, so like Cliff Connectly and Stewart, they always like bring up these facts of like historical evidence and geographical evidence in the Bible. Like, for instance, an imaginary work would not likely include so much historical detail. Specific details on places, dates, times, people, and the ancient Near East culture fill the pages of the Old and New Testaments. Luke's account of Jesus' life includes every detail necessary to provide the full context of Jesus' birth. What details can you find in, like, you can find an immense amount of detail in, like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John specifically. Geographical evidence, like, you can go to the Middle East and go see, like, perfectly described in the Bible, word for word, all of these places that, like, Jesus would have preached on or preached at, or the Bible might describe or explain. And it's like, you can't, like, how many imaginary, like, books, like, fiction books do you ever read, like, or movies or anything that have actual, like, historical evidence in them? Like, yeah. Like, what are you going to read Harry Potter and be like, I'm going to see Hogwarts?
Yeah. You could.
Yeah, you can go to like platform 9 3/4, but it's actually somebody just stuck it up there because they like freaking Harry Potter enough to put it there. Yeah, it was filmed in a real train station, but it's still all fictional. Like, there's no platform 9 3/4.
I mean, Universal there is.
It's fiction. It's literally a fairy tale land.
That pissed me off.
On top of like the amount of like historical documents that we have that match up perfectly with the Bible, it's just like it's undeniable.
Yeah, in a way. You know, events today that match up in the Bible as well.
Not only does the Bible include truthful spiritual and spiritual content,
dude, I need to sit up.
Truthful and spiritual content, but also it records historical and geographical details with remarkable accuracy. For example, archaeologists discovered evidence of the destruction of Jericho that correlates to the biblical accounts found in Joshua 1. You didn't even mute yours.
Yes,
you,
I did.
Yeah, you muted Noah. I don't know. You plugged him in. Is it? It's got to be that one because I'm still going. Aramaic inscriptions that record the house of David were discovered from Tel Dan. A siege ramp and mass grave were unearthed that matched the Assyrian invasion during... That's a big word. Hezekiah's reign.
You should have just never said it.
I'm going to try. That's why.
Don't give me that pink eye. Look at me.
Bro, it's allergies. Stop making fun of me. I can, like, it's so swollen, it's hurting. Maybe you should pray for me.
I don't know, bro. That thing is messed up.
Exactly. Go away, Louie. Lucifer, no, you come devil.
Here. Come here, Pookie.
You're telling the devil to come near you?
His name's Louie, not Lucifer. He's a freaking
cat. Yeah, what do you think he's named after?
He's a gray cat.
Yeah. Anyways, go. Please go away, Louie. Please go. Go.
Hey.
Go.
Don't kick him.
I didn't. I nudged him. I think my contact just moved.
He's telling you now.
Every time I blink, it moves and I can't read.
Just take it out.
Throw it over there.
Welcome back, Louie.
Bible prophecies accurately predict historical events long before they happen.
Yeah. Like,
a couple, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, like, the events, like, didn't it predict, like, the war in Israel? Or, yeah, I think. I don't know if I'm wrong on that.
I just went for it. He shoots, and we'll see if he scores, makes it.
Yeah.
He's not scoring.
So about 700 years before Jesus' birth, Micah wrote that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Like, and that's crazy. Zechariah predicted that Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. David prophesied that Jesus' hands and feet would be pierced. Isaiah predicted that Jesus' body would rest in a rich man's tomb.
I looked this up. Zechariah 12 says that by the arrival of our Messiah, all nations will gather for war against Jerusalem and God's people. So that was, and the title is like, what does the Bible say about Israel and Palestine and the war?
Yeah. Jesus' resurrection was also predicted multiple times in Psalms and Acts. Perhaps you could try to manipulate some of these life details to fulfill scriptures, but no one would change where they would be born, how they would die, or what would happen to their body after death. People cannot know or control the future, but God can and does. The Bible accurately predicts future events because its author knows the end from the beginning. The Bible includes embarrassing information about its heroes. Many ancient historians exaggerated leaders' victories and downplayed or eliminated failures to promote ideologies or causes. But the Bible's writers made no such adjustments. Scripture openly reports that Jacob lied and stole, Moses committed murder, David committed murder and adultery, Jonah ran from God, Peter denied Christ 3 times, and Paul condoned the murdering of the followers of Jesus. If the Bible were man-made, it would probably not expose the flaws of its heroes. But thankfully, the Bible was divinely inspired to glorify God, not people. That's a good one. Yeah. Like, every book you, like, read, every historical book, like, there's, like, certain, like, things, like, people tried to portray that, like, Hitler was doing good things. Yeah. Like, so, whether they're villains or heroes, they don't want them to look bad. Like, Hitler wanted to look like a hero to the German people. So he tried to justify and change what he was actually saying and doing to make them think it was right. Like, same with, like, Stalin and Mussolini, all of them. The Bible includes multiple eyewitness accounts. Matthew, Mark, under Peter's guidance, Luke, and John all wrote accounts of Jesus' life. if their stories were entirely different, you might not trust them, but their stories are very similar with only minor variances. The variations that some call inconsistencies are why you can trust that these stories are authentic and believe the Bible. Identical stories from four very different men would strongly suggest copying or heavy editing. When you read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, notice how they are similar but not identical. That is what you should expect from multiple accurate accounts of the same event. The Bible values women and relies on their testimony. The culture in which the Bible was written did not respect women, yet the Bible praises, rewards, and celebrates women over and over again. The Bible reports that women were the first to discover Jesus' empty tomb, while the men hid in fear behind locked doors. If the male biblical authors had invented the resurrection story, they would not have described themselves as cowards, much less chosen female witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, since women's testimony in their culture was considered worthless. The Gospels also readily report that Jesus spoke not only to women, including some who were prostitutes, but also to foreigners, children, lepers, and tax collectors. He openly spoke with all sorts of people the culture found offensive and worthless. Though these interactions were... It's getting bad, I know.
I know.
Can you stop pointing it out? You're...
I'm what?
Distracting me. What is this? Three Benadryl? You want me to fall asleep before the end of this podcast? Dude, I can see it. I keep looking at it in the camera. I need my glasses.
What is that going to fix?
So I can get my contacts out.
I want to see you in your glasses.
You see me in my glasses all the time. Though these interactions were shocking, Jesus' followers, divinely inspired to write God's story with unfailing accuracy recorded them anyways. The Bible is not a product of their culture. It's a product of God. And finally, you can believe the Bible personally through your own experience. I mean, as you read the Bible every day, truths will stand out to you at just the right time. Stop laughing at me. This is about to be the Ridge show, dog.
I'm sorry.
The Ridge and God show. Like,
I'm sorry.
And the Ridge and Louis show.
No. Louis can run away and never come back.
He's sitting right here next to me.
You will begin to notice the clarity and beauty of God's word. You will start to see connections between different portions of scriptures, giving you a fuller understanding of spiritual truth contained in the Bible. Often reading the Bible will provide you with peace, even if what you are reading does not directly describe the same circumstances you may be facing. That is because every time you read it, you meet with the author and encountering God gives you peace.
Yeah. So that's kind of where Brady's, when you asked us.
You guys need to grow up.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
When you asked us, why do we believe in the Bible? And Brady said, you know, it helps us through certain situations. That kind of connects to what you just said about the Bible.
Yeah. You guys talk for a second while I
fix your eye.
Take my contacts out.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to grow up, what do you want to grow up now since we need to grow up? What do you want to do when you're older?
Be a general contractor.
Ooh.
Yep.
For what, like?
Construction.
What specifically? You want to do everything? You're just like homes?
I don't know, whatever.
Streets?
Whatever the Lord has in store.
Mm.
What do you want to do when you...
I think I want to be a pilot, man. Following my footsteps, my mom, who's been a flight attendant for like 28 years now.
Yeah. Imagine though, like you pilot one of the flights that she's a flight attendant on. That'd be pretty cool.
I think my mom would genuinely wait till I got to that point.
Your pilot's license?
I think she would wait. Until I got there, and she probably her last flight ever.
I can't see you guys.
You know who can't see you? Louis can see you. Don't stop, Ridge.
That's better. Grow up, get more mature, Brady. Seriously. Okay. So, what else you guys got, dude? I told you guys to write some stuff down for this, too.
Wow. Why are you just dogging on us this whole episode? Holy crap.
I'm just asking you what you got.
You're not. You're just dogging on us. I told you this. I need to do that. Grow up.
Let me find something. You're sitting there laughing at me.
Because it's funny.
Really? Me being in pain is funny?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Forgiveness.
I forgive you for being a butthole.
Didn't Pastor George talk about? Did he talk about spiritual gifts today?
No, I don't think so, dude.
Oh, I
thought he did.
No, maybe not. Well, you got your notes, don't you?
Ow.
Where's your notes at? You didn't write them down on your phone. Just talking to Deanna.
He just bit me.
Good. All right. Well, I mean, I guess we can wrap this episode up if we want to.
I mean, I think I've learned a lot so far.
I think I've learned to stay away from cats for the rest of my life.
Ow.
They're evil.
He just scratched me and bit me.
Good. We should get rid of him.
I mean, it's not like he's here anyways. He's an outdoor cat.
You're right, he is. Noah, take us away with the verse of the week, dude.
Verse of the week, once again, is 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people.
Fire.
It was a good verse.
Yeah, it is. All right, man. Well, I guess this is it.
Ow.
This is my little peace out to everyone.
Let go.
Deuces.
Brady.
Let go of my leg.
Stop. Brady.
Stop. Don't bite that.
Say bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye.